back to the Jeff Wolf Show on Open Talk 106.5. Hey, just stay with us on this Monday morning. Mallory Pipe, your text line once again, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, he's a lawmaker from Jefferson County, making a lot of news lately, but he has graciously accepted our invitation to come on the program this morning. State Representative David Faulkner is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time. We appreciate it. You're kind of the man in the moment, and I want to talk, obviously, the thing that's really got a lot of attention out here is the proposal of a shark detection system. But let's talk about your Alpha effort clearing the House last week. I mean, 98-1 is no small feat. Now, I know there was an amendment that was a little more contentious, but talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, spending a lot of time on the Alpha Health Plan bill, a lot of time for really the last 6 months, and meeting with, of course, members of Alpha, but also people, representatives from the Business Council of Alabama, Blue Cross Blue Shield, numerous meetings with them. And also with the hospital association is the primary folks I met with. But yeah, I was excited. In fact, the one no vote was an error, and the representative went up and told the clerk that. So if you look at it that way, 98 yes votes out of 105 and no votes technically. So really glad to see the House support what I believe ended up being a very good bill. I think it's going to offer a great health care option. It's not going to be a health care plan for all, but it is a health care plan option for Alpha members, for Farmers Federation members to look at and have a potential to really lower their health care costs by 30 to 60%.
And, you know, to me, I was like, watching this unfold, and I know the Blue Cross, Blue Shield crowd and like the American Cancer Society, a lot of these guys were against it. But what I could never figure out, Representative, is why there was never like an alternative, right? They never said, okay, farmers, we hear you. We know what you're going through here. We understand this is cost prohibitive and you need something. But you never... They never offered that, right? And I just think you kind of backed a lot of farmers or the Farmers Federation into the situation where they had to do something, and this was it. And whenever these guys would come on and talk about it, they would just say, "Well, we're sympathetic to their cause, but we don't want this." And was there ever like in any discussion that you're aware of, like, an alternative plan that they could have presented or something just as in good faith?
Well, and let me say this. I think Blue Cross basically had said from the get-go, look, we think this is going to happen. We do not like it, but we think it's going to happen. So here is the amendments we would like to add to the bill. Yes, I mean, in a sense, there was never, I only heard just a little bit from those nonprofit groups. I really didn't understand. All they were saying is, you know, it should be just like any health insurance plan that's in existence now. So, you know, my response to them was, well, if we don't pass this, you'd have the same options as you have now. Those options aren't going away for people. You know, the important distinction here is, Jeff, is this is not, I mean, it's deemed not to be health insurance, so it doesn't have to comply with the requirements of the ACA. And so it is a health plan for farmers, the members of the Federation. And it had been done. I think the strongest, you know, part of this argument to let farmers have this option for their own members was 10 other states have done it. And Tennessee's been doing it since 1947, and it's working really, really well. So that was the, you know, five states are considering it now. And Alabama, by far, the bill we passed is by far the most stringent, the most comprehensive, if you will, of any of the states that have passed it.
Well, I mean, it just, like I said, it sounded like it was a problem, and just letting it fester. I mean, that was the alternative, and that just probably to a lot of your colleagues wasn't acceptable. And I never could, like you said, I get what their problems are, their you know, issues were with a health plan versus full-fledged health insurance, but like you got to have, something is better than nothing. It seems like we are letting the perfect be the enemy of the good here.
Yeah, you know, this is clearly an option for some, and it's not, you know, you can look at the numbers from other states. I mean, in Tennessee, who's been doing it since 1947, in a state of 7.2 million people, there's 138,000 covered lives out of 7.2 million people on the Tennessee plan that's been in existence since 1947. So, you know, it's not an option for everybody, but it is an option for some that has the chance to really lower their healthcare cost and not adversely affect other people in the state. At least that, you know, that's what our numbers show. Is that these other states who have done this, it's just an option for some, and it's not adversely affecting others. So why not let us be a state like Alabama, where agriculture is so important to our state? Why would we not look at this? Why would we not do this when 10 other states have done it, and it's working well as an option for members of the Farmers Federation?
Well, we'll see. I suspect it will go much like it has in other states, but that's a significant win for you guys. Moving on, and this is what really our audience down here is, you know, your shark alert system proposal and really understanding what that looks like. Now, when I saw Lula Gribben kind of making the rounds last week in Montgomery, I thought, well, this thing's going to, I mean, it seems the governor's on board. Looks like a lot of lawmakers, a lot of your colleagues are on board. I guess the question is, can you talk? Do you have an idea of what this looks like, and you know what would people need to know about it if whatever it is that you have in mind, if it becomes a reality?
Sure. So, you know, look, I understood the initial kind of pushback from some local folks down there. I want you to know that, you know, the Alabama's coast is very important to me. I grew up on our coast, had a home, you know, on that coast from 1979 to 2004 until the second hurricane took it. So I understand the coast and love our coast. You won't find anybody that's a bigger fan of Alabama, the beautiful beaches we have, and drawing tourists to our beaches and providing a great place for our people to go to and for tourists to come to. But, you know, so I understood the initial reaction to this is, oh my gosh, we don't, you know, there's sharks out there, you know, every day. And we're worried that this is going to cause unnecessary panic, or, you know, cause people to be afraid of our beaches or something like that. I understood, but I just didn't agree that we couldn't get there, that we couldn't put something in place in 2025 that we couldn't put our heads together and come up with something to avoid what happened to Lulu. And again, Jeff, what happened to Lulu was in Florida, off the coast of Florida. But the fact that a severe shark attack had occurred right off the beach about 3 miles away in Florida from where Lulu was, and yet she and others around her, including the other young girl from my district that was attacked, they had no notice that the shark attack had occurred an hour and a half before. And in this day and age, that just to me is unacceptable. And people should have a right to know in the area of a potential danger to know that. And I felt like we could do this. And so I'll stop there for a moment. But I do have more to say, obviously, about this.
Well, what would it look like? I mean, so, and I hear this, I'm not an expert in this realm by any stretch, despite my proximity to the coast, but my understanding is there's sharks everywhere. And, you know, what would trigger it? What seems to be the pushback here is, you know, it would just go off all the time. It would be something that, like you said, it might scare some of the tourists away, and they might go down the coast to Florida where they think there's, you know, less of a shark threat, that it raises like a hyper awareness almost to a fault. I mean, what do you envision? Say this alarm is set off. What happens from that point forward? What does it take?
Sure. So let me, and we amended the bill in Public Safety Committee, and I want to give a real shout out to the Department of Conservation, the Alabama Department of Conservation. They came to me after I had dropped an initial bill that was not a good bill, admittedly, had a lot of issues. And I said, all right, I'm not going to move that bill. And the Department of Conservation, I spoke, and they said, look, can we meet? We think we can help you achieve what you want to do and do it in a good way. And I said, great. We sat down, met, and then they drafted the bill for me. And the bill was a little broader in terms of a potential notification. It was broader than just an unprovoked shark attack near our coastline. It was if, you know, experts found there to be an imminent threat of danger from sharks or unusual shark activity that they thought could pose danger to people. Now, let me clarify, though. Even the bill before I amended it, this was going to be handled and developed by professionals. This was not going to be something where a person could call in, you know, someone on the beach could call in and make this alert go off. This was going to be handled by professionals, the Department of Conservation, in conjunction with emergency management professionals, the Baldwin County EMA, the Mobile County EMA, and other local officials. And so we were making it clear it was going to be professional people that would make this determination to send this alert out. And that's still, of course, the case. What I did is I amended the bill in committee last week so that the only time this can be used, if there has been an unprovoked shark attack in close proximity to our shoreline, coastline, that's the only time you can use this. I look at it this way, Jeff. What I'm doing is putting a tool in the toolbox for our emergency responders, for our emergency people. That's what I'm doing. And I'm leaving it up to local officials, professionals to determine when that goes out, what the geofence area will be. But all this legislation is doing, if it helps people to understand it, is it's allowing a tool in the toolbox for emergency people to use when a shark attack has occurred already. So that's what it's been amended down to. Now, in my hope is that in the future, you know, the professionals will expand that toolbox. You know, we'll say, hey, we've got good enough technology now, and we've got this in control. We're not fearful of it. We know that our folks have control over this. State professional people and local state officials, that they can say, hey, we'd like to expand it. But for now, I amended the bill to address local concerns to say this tool will only be available when a shark attack has occurred in close proximity to the beach, to the coastline. And when that's occurred, then again, professionals and local officials are going to designate when this is done, when it goes off, but subject to that one parameter, that it can only be used when a shark attack has occurred near in close proximity to our shoreline or coastline.
And so, I mean, I'm 30 miles away from the beach. If there's a shark attack at the Floribama or wherever, I mean, who gets that alert? What is the net there? I mean, do you have like a kind of an idea of what that would look like?
Sure. So, you know, look, think of this. The easiest way for me to describe it to people is this is allowing an Amber Alert to be sent out. It can be geofenced to a very small area. So you can geofence this, you know, within down the coastline. You can do it for 5 miles. You can do it for 1 mile. You could do it for 10 miles. Whatever the professionals think, the emergency professionals believe is the correct area. And it would only go in so far as they designate. So, you know, whether that's a mile offshore, this would be geofenced is the term that it's called. It's an Amber Alert. Just like you don't get people don't send me an Amber Alert from Kansas. Amber Alerts can be geofenced into areas. And so the emergency professionals will be the ones who determine where that geofence goes for the Amber Alert.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this. I mean, and I know I asked you this when we talked earlier at the State House, but why a guy from over the mountain suburbs, Mount Brook, why not somebody down here leading the charge? Why you?
Sure. Great question, and I'm happy to answer it. So Lulu Gribben, the little girl who lost her leg and her right leg and her left hand, left part of her arm above her hand, was on my acolyte team at church. Her father and I lead an acolyte team at our church, and Lulu, I'd, you know, been around her and her twin sister and her family. They're just wonderful people. Lulu, as now the whole world knows, it has such tremendous courage. She's a fighter. She was very athletic, young girl. She's smart. Somebody everybody wanted to be around, and frankly, her entire family, they're just great people. And so she being on my team at church, and then when this happened to her, I just got so upset. It just hurt me personally. I sat in committee, you're not supposed to take legislation personally, but I have. Because I'm tired, Jeff, of people saying this is just the shark's habitat. This is just where they live. Well, I take great offense to that. And Lulu just pushed me to a point that I just said something has got to be done. And I'm hoping this is not the end. I'm hope this is the beginning. But that's why. Right. Lulu's on it goes to church with me, and what an inspiration she's been to everybody. And so it's 2025. Let's use the technology and use our minds that God's given us and know that we can do better.
Representative,
let's accept the challenge.
We're way long here. I got to get out of here, but thanks for hopping on this morning.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
State Representative David Faulkner there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my